Scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 20. If you need a Bible, just please raise your hand so the ushers can bring you one. And that's page 961 for those using the ESV Bibles. Now, if Jesus is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we are testified about God, and He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of the people most to be pitied. But in that Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Robin. So today is the fourth message of this series called The Gospel of Fluency, and Pastor Paul and I hope that as these messages continue, that we would be able to, as followers of Christ, and if you're here and you're not a follower of Christ, but at least you'd be more understanding what the gospel message is, but that we would all become more fluent in being able to articulate and realize how the gospel message weaves into our everyday stuff of life, our everyday life. And today we focus on the resurrection. It's past achievement, it's present power, and it's future hope that we have in the age to come. And I'll refer to these as resurrection past, resurrection future, and resurrection present, and resurrection future throughout the message. Because we need to hear and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ daily. Sometimes in church, if I was raised in church myself, we get to like tune out when we start to hear the gospel message because we've heard it so many times. And so we tune out in our life as well. We don't accept and believe in the powerful message of the gospel because we think we know it. And once we know something, or at least we acknowledge, like, yeah, I've heard that before, then we don't apply it to ourselves anymore. It's not a constant belief and a daily coming to Christ. And each of us need Jesus every day to show us the way, to remind us of His truth, and to give us that new life that He provides only. And so this is what we're going to be looking at today, because Jesus is the hope of the world, right? Amen? Yeah, okay, you acknowledge that. He's risen from the dead. That's pretty powerful stuff. You know anybody else who's risen from the dead? I don't know anybody. Jesus is risen from the dead. He offers us forgiveness and eternal life through faith in Him as Lord over all creation. That's pretty radical to claim that we believe in a God who reigns over all, who became flesh and lived among us. If you think about it, if you've never heard this before, it's pretty radical. And this is who we follow, Jesus Christ, as we've heard, the atonement of our sins. And this is cause for celebration. Christians, we should be the ones who know how to party the best, to celebrate because of what we believe in is that Jesus is raised from the dead and what that means for us. So, dude, let's party. You're not in the mood, huh? But this last Wednesday morning, I as I was walking my dog, Summer, I was not celebrating at all. Instead, I was really discouraged and frustrated with myself. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where you just kind of replaying things in your mind, in your life, and you just kind of get into this dark, dark area, this dark thinking, and that's what was happening. I'm walking my dog, you know, and I'm just thinking, reviewing all the things that were lacking, and getting more and more dark. And then my hope was evaporating. This is Wednesday morning, not just a few days ago. And do you know what my problem was? It wasn't that I was evaluating stuff, right? Because it's healthy, right, to evaluate you know, what's good about it, what's bad, you know, things like that. It wasn't that. It wasn't even, the problem wasn't even that I was evaluating these things that were lacking, and specifically in our community, as in the maturity where we are as a body of Christ. It wasn't that, that I was evaluating that with reference to my part and how I play in this. No, that's healthy too. The problem was I was evaluating and thinking all these things in my head with me as the center. Like if Cornerstone and the church or whatever rose and fell on me, depending on me, Jeff, Wisman. That's the problem I had. And so I was condemning myself because I felt like I have failed in doing these things. I should have done this better, or I didn't do this. And it's not like we're in a bad shape, but it's just, I was just focusing on all this stuff, and I was becoming darker and darker. And, you know, the same applies to each of us. Whenever, like me, whenever I begin to view life from me as the center of everything, it's only a matter of time before disappointment and discouragement and depression and anxiety begin to enter into my mind and heart, and I get full of all these sinful, selfish thoughts. And it's like this toilet bowl. I'm just sucked down into the center of myself. And that's where I was. But thankfully, and I'm sharing this with you because there was another part of this experience of walking my dog. My habit is I walk my dog and I do some time in prayer. This was not the time I was praying. I was just focusing on myself. And then I usually take this time to recite some of the, go over the verses that I've been trying to memorize from God's Word. And so after I was into this dark spot, then I thought, okay, I'll start reciting the verses that I'm working on at this point, and that's Romans 8. So I started going through the verses of Romans 8. And as I was saying the verses from my memory, I started to realize the gospel of Jesus Christ once again. I started to listen to the truth that was coming out of my mouth and realize the truth and dissolve the lies that I was believing in. And so what I realized by the time I walked and got back home, my heart was hopeful. The discouragement and depression had evaporated and my hope had returned because of the gospel that I was now accepting and believing in again. My discouragement was gone. And Romans 8 starts with, and now there is, or therefore there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That would be applying to me at that point, right? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so here I was, just in the first two verses, I was like, whoa, wait a second. I am walking here condemning myself for this and that and whatever, you know, everything. And Christ Jesus has already been condemned on my behalf for my sins and failures. So why am I condemning myself? He's already taken my condemnation on my behalf. So what I realized is the more I was condemning myself, the further I was from the gospel. I was not believing in the gospel message that I preach and teach so often. And so as I was going through this text and I was reciting, I was getting back to the gospel message, and that freedom from that discouragement, my focus for myself moved to Christ. And yes, I have done things that didn't work out, or I did things that were sinful, but the future is bright in Christ. And so that's what carried me back. And so I had hope as I returned. And I spoke these words aloud. The truth again entered my soul and my heart. And it's the same way for all of us. Whenever you and I condemn ourselves, then we need to hear the gospel. We need to accept that Jesus Christ was condemned on our behalf. And we are not to condemn ourselves if we are in Christ Jesus. He has taken the penalty for our sin. What we're saying actually is that Jesus' death was not enough for us. God's grace is not sufficient for me because my bad stuff is bigger than God. And so I deserve the condemnation I'm giving myself. That's what we're saying, and we're not believing in the gospel. So we need to hear the gospel message daily. every day. And the resurrection is the foundation of the gospel message. So we're focusing on this part of the gospel message today, because the good news is that Jesus is risen from the dead. And as we just had heard read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, if without the resurrection, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So if without the resurrection, none of this matters. Let's just go home. You know, why are we here? It's meaningless. It's in vain. If there was no resurrection of Jesus, then God was not incarnate. Jesus was not God in the flesh, because the resurrection proved that. And if God was not in the flesh, in Christ Jesus, the God-man, then his death did not atone for the sins of all mankind. And if there was no atonement for the sins of all mankind, then you and I and all of mankind is still under God's wrath and deserving eternal punishment. We're screwed. So you see how the gospel message unravels without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You remove the resurrection and the whole gospel falls apart. So we're going to be talking about resurrection past first. And the Christian faith depends solely on the historical event of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, rising from the dead in bodily form, physical form. This is what we refer to as a resurrection past. The resurrection of Jesus proved everything that Jesus said and claimed about himself to be true. So that's why it's so important that this actually happened. It wasn't a fake. It's not something somebody created up, like created from scratch, or the disciples just made it up and decided to follow this idea for their own popularity or something. No, this is important to be true. The resurrection of Jesus proved that all he said was true. Now, the historical evidence for Jesus' resurrection from the dead is substantial. There's a lot of historical evidence out there that proves, or we should say points to, that the resurrection actually did occur. There's little doubt among historians, for example, across the board, Christian, non-Christian, that the disciples of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, actually believed, sincerely believed, that Jesus was alive after he was crucified. So that's the evidence. They say, well, these people actually, it seems like they really believe that he was alive, because they were willing to even go to death for this belief. You know, if you're going to create a lie, things get a little dicey when you're going to die for that lie, right? You might say, well, it's not really the case. You know, I changed my tune. But they were willing to die. And so that is some powerful historical evidence. The resurrection past refers to the event of Jesus rising from the grave to live forever as Savior of all mankind. Jesus rising from the dead on the third day, which he claimed he would over and over again, is the proof that he is God the Son, because he also claimed that as well. So in the three prior messages of this series, Gospel Fluency, we learned that the gospel claims about Christ that he is the only one that could be the atonement for our sins because he was God incarnate. So there's those pieces of the gospel that were very necessary for to the point of us being saved through what Christ has done and achieved on the cross, taking the penalty of our sin, only because he has risen from the dead. Otherwise, he would be like every other guy that's ever lived on the earth, saying mighty things, but then nothing to show for it, right, in the end. And so this, while Jesus' death was the atonement for our sin, the resurrection is proof that his atonement was true. And that eternal life is there to offer us, because he now is living forever without death in his sights. So the resurrection past is proof of the power of God to take what is dead and restore it to life. This is key. To take what is dead and restore it to life. To make new life an imperishable life. So that resurrection power isn't just bringing someone back to life, but to a life that is forever. So Jesus, during his ministry, did raise some people from the dead, right? He raised a man. He raised a little girl. He raised Lazarus, right? But the thing is, they were going to die again. So it's kind of like he just brought him to life to show the coming power of the true resurrection, because he is, it was embodied in him, Christ Jesus. He's the key, because he is the resurrected Lord, ultimately. You know, the other religions have stories of resurrections as well. Did you know that? The Jewish faith and the Hindu faith have these accounts of some of their religious leaders who died and supposedly rose again. And these stories come from one or two of their followers claiming to have seen their leader appear to them after their death. And that's it. But the difference is that there is no historical evidence to substantiate what these claims are. Unlike Jesus Christ, who has all this historical evidence that claim and seem to point to that what happened actually happened. And so therefore, there is so much more weight for us to trust in the evidence of Christ's resurrection in the past. So what does then the resurrection mean for the present? So we're going to be moving from resurrection past, which is the foundation of our faith. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean for the present time? Well, for example, last Tuesday, I was at the Jewish Heritage Regency Center in Somerset. It's not far from here. It's on DeMont Lane. And that's where Margaret Avalos is staying right now because she broke her leg. You guys know Margaret. She sits in the back there, elderly Caucasian woman, 84 years old. But you would never know that because she's so bright and full of life. And, you know, she walks to church from her house, and you know, she won't be doing that for a while. But she broke her leg. And so I went there and I was visiting with her, and we were encouraging each other in Christ. And then I prayed with her. And then I was getting ready to leave, and the nurse named Betty came into her room to ask her a question. And immediately she goes, "Oh, Betty, this is my pastor, Jeff. Is there something that you would like him to pray for you about while he's here?" And then she smiled, and she thought for a minute, and she said, "Yeah, my son Tommy." And she shared some concerns she had for him, who's 5 years old. So then we just held hands, the three of us, and we prayed together for Betty and her son Tommy, and it was a special time. And then Betty left, and then I was gonna go, and then Margaret was like, "Oh wait, Pastor Jeff, can you just go across the hall with me, and we can go visit Catherine across the hall? I've made friends with her, and she's really struggling with this issue, and I think it'd be good for her." And so I said, "Okay." So we went across the hall, and then we talked to Catherine for a little bit, and she shared her story a little, and then we prayed there as well with Catherine about her concern, and then I left after that. I guess there was nobody else to see. But as I was walking up to my car, I was just praising God because of the life that we have to bring to others because of Christ who lives within us. The joy that he provides, that even in the midst of darkness and suffering or pain or sickness, that we can still have hope in Christ. And we can offer this to people in the same situations or their own unique troubles or suffering that they're facing. And my point in sharing with this with you is that here is Margaret at 84 years old with a broken leg. And when you're 84 and you break a bone, that's serious. Things don't heal as well. Margaret's wondering if she'll ever be able to really walk around, you know, like she used to. But to her, I can see her working that through. She's like, well, whatever the case, it's going to be okay. she's thinking it through, like, yeah, that's going to be, I'll just, if that's the case. But she's, you know, of course, hoping she can walk again. But because Margaret at 84 years old is still full of life and vibrant with the life of Christ and the joy of Christ that she wants to share with everybody in her life, whether it's the nurse coming into her room or the lady across the hall she met, or the person that she's sitting next to when, you know, they gather all the people in the wheelchairs and they watch movies or have some guy come in and sing songs for him or something. You know, that's where I found her. She was sitting next to this guy and they were drinking martinis together because this person came in and they were doing some Spanish festival thing and they were giving out some alcohol and they were like, you know, having a good time partying together. So, 84-year-olds, they can really party it up. And you know, right now, I want to be full of joy and the brightness of Christ. That's the resurrection life present. And then, especially when I'm 84 years old, I want to be bright and full of hope. Because I have to confess, I've met too many elderly people that what it turns into is they're always talking about their ailments. What it turns out to is they're always complaining about life. You know, the government doesn't do anything, and the president's, my children don't take care of me, and this country's going down the tubes. It's not like the good old days, my leg and hurt, and I get my heart problem, and I get my, I can't breathe as well. You just get the list, which is okay because that's their situation, but where's the joy? Where's the hope if they are followers of Christ? That's the resurrection present. Because Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall he live. The resurrection present means that Jesus is alive now. He must be in another dimension or something somewhere because he's got a body like you and me. Jesus, the God-man, is somewhere. But he is with us as well through his Spirit. So the risen Jesus, the resurrection life present, is his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us who follow Christ. When we place our faith in him as Lord, when we confess our sin and our need for him as his salvation, he comes and lives in us. It's what we were talking about last week in the incarnation. He's still living among people through us. That's the resurrection life present. And that should provide us with joy and hope and excitement, even in the things that we do that may not be too exciting, or the things that we experience that are just evil. As Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give what to your mortal bodies? Life. Because of his Spirit who lives in you. Do you hear that? He's giving us life, and that abundant life. It's not just being able to breathe. It's life that is full of abundance and joy and excitement. Better than any video game. Better than any experience we can do. You know, I've always wanted to race a car at 250 miles an hour. Better than that, you know. Skydiving, better than that. You might be like, no way, I'm not going to have a skydive, you know. But that excitement that we seek in life, way better than those kind of things. Because the new life we have in Christ starts right now through faith in Jesus. And that's the life of God himself indwelling us, empowering us to be a great student. But not so idolize that A or that A+. To be an excellent worker, to work our butts off for the glory of God, not for the promotion. To be the best husband or wife we can be by honoring and sacrificing ourselves for the other. Not so that they would love us more, but because we love Jesus. And our compassion then goes to the world, rather whatever race or color they are or socioeconomic status, because Jesus loves them, and then therefore we love them too. So all the barriers of the world break down. And that's the resurrection life in the now, the here and now and the present. It's so important to understand because the power of the resurrection present is evident in the abundant life we have in Jesus. So if our life is drab and depressed, full of anxiety and frustration, if we don't like our life, then we need to hear the gospel again and accept and believe it again like we do every day. If we start getting off track, we just need to focus on the gospel that Christ loves us, that he paid the penalty for us, and we are set free now. Our life is free of the guilt of our sin, even after we just commit it. It's not an excuse to sin again. It's an excuse or a freedom to live righteously and not let that sin drag us down like anchors in our minds and hearts. We can move on and do what is good. It is a life with hope and joy and peace. So let's party. Let's have fun in life, no matter what we do. You know, Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him, meaning Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Now listen to this. He even wants to share in his sufferings? Do you want to suffer? Everybody here who would love to suffer, raise their hands. Yeah, I think that's pretty healthy. And when you raise your hands, I'd probably be talking to you after the service, wondering, why do you want to suffer so much? But Paul is saying here that he wants to share in his sufferings. You know, have you ever wanted to be close to someone? And the way you can really be close, this is speaking as a pastor now, the best opportunities for us to deepen our relationship with people is, guess when? It's when they are experiencing some kind of tragedy or suffering in their life. People who fight together in the army and they go through some tragic, you know, firefight or something, their relationship deepens tremendously. Suffering deepens relationship of people who suffer together. And what Paul is saying here is he wants to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and fellowship in Christ with the sufferings of Christ, because he knows that will deepen his knowledge of Christ. And so what the truth of the resurrection present is, we can even face evil and suffering and tragedy and disappointment with joy and peace in Christ, because Jesus is risen. He's alive. Let's party, dude. Right? No matter what's going on. It's not that we have to be happy all the time, but we never lose that hope that we have in our resurrected Lord. The resurrection future, then, is our hope that we can have in the established kingdom of God and the new heaven and new earth that is going to be coming, that Christ has promised. And including in that is our own experience of being resurrected like Christ, given the new body, made new, and a body that is not definitely, I hope, going to be like this one, because I'm getting a little extra here and May saying I'm a little flabby here, you know, and I hope it's not going to be like this forever. But even if it is, at least I'll be able to do a, you know, run a marathon or something like that, because our new body will be perfect, top notch, from God's point of view. So the book of Revelation helps us understand this part of the gospel message of the resurrection future. Revelations is a description of what is in store for the heavens and the earth and all of mankind according to God's plan. In the end, when everything is culminated to come and be established on earth once and for all. So Revelations chapter 21 is especially interesting because it paints the picture of God's ultimate plan to do away with the world as we know it and create a new heaven and a new earth. Some theologians say, is he going to recreate the earth or is he going to just create a new thing? And there's this debate. But it doesn't matter, right? Whatever the end result is going to be awesome. And we're going to be able to enjoy it with him forever if we follow Jesus. For example, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And this speaks of the removal of four things that are really common to our experience now, right? Let me just list them out. Death. Everyone's going to die. I'm sorry to say it to you, but you will die someday. No way of escaping that. We're all going to die. And some of us will die tragically. Death will be removed. Mourning. We mourn now in our present experience because of sin. And also because of death. Death brings a lot of mourning. Crying, the cruelty of this world and what is done to each other causes sadness. Just ask those who are fleeing Syria. Great sadness there. Pain, the first penalty inflicted on all of mankind because of sin, right? What did God say to Eve? The pain of your childbirth will greatly increase because of the sin that they committed against God. It's by the pain of Adam that he had to work the ground now to get things to grow, where before in the garden he could just pick it off and enjoy the fruit. Pain will be finally lifted in the new order of things. So all these belong to the former things where sin and death are present. It's our present reality. They're going to be wiped away for good. gone. It's hard to imagine that, isn't it? Can you imagine one day without any pain? Some people that would be really hard. It's hard to imagine a world without these things because they're our common experience. You know, there's a song from a group called REM. I don't know if you've ever heard the song. It's The End of the World as We Know It. And I don't like the song. But the reason why I know it, when I was preparing the message and I got to this part, I was like, oh, that song. Because it's, if you've ever heard the song, the chorus of that song is one of those annoying choruses that once you hear it, you can't get it out of your head. You know, so that's what happened. I was preparing the message and all of a sudden this chorus came to my head. I was like, oh, that song, you know, but the chorus is applicable to what this point is here. And it goes something like this. Go ahead.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Recognize it?
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of
now I'm going to have this in my head. So anybody here heard that before? No? Oh. Yeah, if you watch the first Independence Day, yeah, it's right at the beginning there too. That's one movie that includes it in there. Well, the words are simple, very simple in the chorus. It's the end of the world as we know it. And then he repeats that, but then on the third time, he adds at the end of that, and I feel fine. It's like he's accepted it. And as followers of Christ, we should feel fine. Anticipating the end of the world as we know it. I've dealt with people when people have made proclamations like the world's going to end like next Wednesday or something like that, and they'll text me and say, Pastor Jeff, what are we going to do? The world's going to end. I'm like, bring it on, you know, because the end of the world as we know it, that's going to be awesome, you know. But if we don't know and anticipate, we'll be very fearful about that. But we should have great hope and joy in the resurrection future where God will establish His kingdom on earth fully and in reality. And all these things, these former things, will be done away with. That's the resurrection future. Now the verse in Revelation 21, especially that captures and summarizes all that God is doing now and will do in resurrection future, is verse 5. Verse 5, which says, "And He who was seated on the throne," meaning Christ, the Lord, "said, Behold, I am making all things new." Now, notice he didn't say, "I will make all things new." He's saying, "I am making all things new." In the Greek, this verb they're making is a present tense, getting in the grammar now. It's not future tense. And present tense Greek, Nathan, what does that mean? Just kidding, pop quiz. He just graduated seminary a while ago. But it just simply means that it's happening now and it's continuing and will continue to happen onwards. So it's present now. Also, it implies that it will never stop. It will keep happening. And so the Greek word translated as new in this verse is kainos. And that word simply means, well, it's also used in reference to new heaven and new earth. So he's making all things new. And then also in Revelation, it refers that, it uses that word for new heaven and new earth. So what does that specific word mean fully? Well, Walter Bauer's Greek English lexicon says this: what is old has become obsolete and should be replaced by what is new. In such a case, the new is superior in kind to the old. So Christ, the Lord, the resurrected Lord, in the future and in the present is making all things new. What does that mean? So the resurrection future is also the resurrection present, which we've been talking about, right? But how does that work? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he used this same Greek word twice. And listen to what he says there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The work of God that is coming and has come and already came is all in Christ Jesus. He's already risen. And the body he was raised into, the new body he had, looked just like the old one. But it was different, wasn't it? What was different about it? What do you remember? Yeah, it was healed, right? Or he had the marks of what he had experienced before, But he was alive. It was working. Did he go through doors? No, he just appeared, right? So there's some specialness there. I can't wait for that part if that same applies to me. You know, I've always been into like time travel and dimensional things and science fiction stuff. So I'm just hoping that, yeah, it'd be nice to just say, I want to go to Florida for lunch. And then, boom, I'm there on the beach, you know, eating my lunch or something. And I'm like, oh, let's go to Moscow and see what's going over there. And boom, I'm over there. You know, that'd be awesome. Or let's go to Mars and see what the weather's like there. You know, like, boom, I'm there. Might need a little extra stuff, though. But, yeah, that's just my own thinking. But, you know, Jesus' body was resurrected. It was made new. And we have that to look forward to. But it's this power of God that works in the hearts and minds of those of us now being transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. That is his process of making us new now. And then we have the look forward to when the redemption of our bodies, where our bodies will be made new as well. And we have great hope, brothers and sisters. This world will not last. The life you have right now will not exist like this forever. We have a life in Christ that begins now and a life in Christ that will last forever with him in his new age to come. We have hope now for the future because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, our Lord, reigns. He's king over all things. He reigns on high because he has risen from the dead and proven this, that what he has claimed about himself is true. Our hope for the future is to spend eternity with our Lord Jesus and his kingdom on the recreated earth. The book of Revelation teaches this and claims it as going to happen and gives us a kind of a sketch of what kind of principles and things that we can expect. And it's exciting just to get that glimpse. You know, there's a story told of the scientist, the chemist Faraday. He had this helper, and one day the helper accidentally hit this one of the favorite cups of Faraday used to drink tea or something. It was a silver cup. He bumped it, and it fell into this jar of acid. Well, then the chemical reaction happened, and in a few moments, the cup was gone. It was dissolved. It was eaten. And Faraday came in, and the guy told him, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Favorite cup, gone. And Faraday was like, no problem. So he went over and he got some other chemical and he put it in there. More reaction. And after a few minutes, all the silver was precipitated to the bottom of the jar. Just in this like lump mass. And so he strained it out and he took the silver, gave it to the silversmith, formed it into a new cup, bright and shiny, better than it was before. And then he was there back drinking tea with his cup. And, you know, that's just a chemical reaction, understanding chemistry. Do you think our Creator God, who made you and me, can't bring together our scattered ashes and make them new and bring us back to life? Of course he can. He's proven it with Christ Jesus. And that's why Christ is our focus and our hope, because what he did with Christ, those of us who follow Christ, he promises he will do with us. That's the resurrection future. So we need to hear and believe the gospel every single day, because Christ Jesus is the answer. As he said, he is the way. He's going to show us the way, and we need to know that every day. He will remind us of the truth, and the truth is Christ himself, right? He said, I am the truth. And he gives us new life, but Jesus himself said, I am the life. So that life he gives us is himself. And we need to know this every day, remind ourselves of this every single day, because Jesus is the hope of the world. He is risen from the dead. He gives us life. Life eternal, forgiveness of our sins, when we follow him in faith. It's time to celebrate. Party, dudes. Let's pray. Lord God, we just confess to you our need of reminding of this message, or accepting this message first in our life. Coming to grips with our need for you as our Savior, our own sinfulness, how far short we fall from being truly freed from the presence of sin in our life, unhealthiness, selfish thoughts, selfish actions, living life just for our own glory, benefit, and not the benefit of you, your glory, and the benefit of others around us. Only you, Lord, can do that as you transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus. And help us and enable us and empower us to live now for your glory and for the benefit of this world. And this is what we ask, Lord. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Help us to know the power of your resurrection now. And even know this power in sharing the sufferings of yourself and this world as we walk through the evil and darkness of this world with joy and peace that you give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.